Welcome to Looking Back at Gawler's History through the pages of the Bunyip once again. And this is for Wednesday, July the 19th. And our special guest this week is Gary from the Gawler Heritage Centre.
Hello, Jeanette. Gary. Thank you very much. How are you today?
Good, good. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you.
So I'll kick off. So with 150 years ago, Inspector Cheek versus Councillor Bradley. This and subsequent cases of the sanitary inspector versus the pigsties caused immense amusement to a very crowded auditory. In the worthy councillor's case, it appeared that he had a couple of illegally constructed pigsties, but they were untenanted as eight of the late tenants had gone, not to the Northern Territory, but to the land of bacon. Of these surviving tenants, a juvenile of remarkable ability in leaping the line had been sold to a neighbour who was allowed to leave him in a legal sty. This porker, it appeared, was in the habit of leaping out of number three sty and into illegal numbers one and two, where he had been bred, and as the bench suggested, probably in quest of his old mates. And on one of these occasions, the inspector, it seems, found Piggy in the wrong box, and hence his indictment of the unlucky councillor. I was very amused by this story. The language is beautiful. It's so eloquently written.
It is well done, isn't it?
Yes.
I wonder whether Inspector Cheek had lots of trouble with Councillor Bradley.
Maybe.
But it didn't do him much, Councillor Bradley, much trouble, because I see he was councillor to the Gawler South Ward, and he stayed in that until 1876, so that was 3 years after this. Obviously there wasn't any great hassle for him.
Goes on to say that he pleaded very eloquently for a dismissal of the case under circumstances which would show that he was anxiously alive to the propriety of respecting laws which he had assisted to put in force. But he did get charged. And it seems like they had a few other illegal pigsties as well in the area that they were cracking down on. But it says so much about what life in Gawler was like. In the middle of the township, you've got these
pigsties. Yes, that would have been tremendous. I would have loved to have been the neighbours and that sort of thing. But I suppose I could have got free bacon or discounted bacon and that. So it was good to see that they went to a good cause, though.
Yes, the land of bacon.
The land of bacon.
So, of course, Northern Territory, the Port of Darwin was established in 1869 by George Gawler. So, you know, that's hence the reference to Northern Territory, because this was
is that what that was?
Yes. Yeah, they were just putting in the telegraph, and Northern Territory was just beginning to open up to European settlement.
That makes sense now.
Yeah. One of the stories in the family history was James had a butcher's business in Smithfield Rest, in the middle of the township, right by the station.
Right.
But a butcher's back then, it wasn't just the shop where they sold the meat, it was where they killed the animals. And then they did the whole thing there.
Yes.
And at one stage there was a complaint, and council inspected his butcher's business.
Yes, yes.
And reported that, yes, it was all in good order, there was no problem, but they've requested he not shoot the animals in the middle of the township anymore. And I thought, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
So towns were noisy, smelly places at that time.
And duck. In case it got ricocheting bullet or something.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yeah. But I see the inspectors in those days, the sanitary inspectors, their main job was checking into slaughterhouses.
Yes.
So, they were all over the place.
They were. They were in the middle of the towns.
Yeah, because I remember my grandfather, who was in Jane Street, he had a small farm type of thing, and he used to do the same. He would slaughter animals because But I remember my father saying that occasionally they would have an inspector coming by. So just to check and see whether everything was okay. And in those days, I wouldn't imagine it wouldn't be, you know.
It wouldn't have been too well done.
Right, 100 years ago. So that's 1923. Williamstown Hotel. The above hotel has been completely renovated and painted. Tourists and visitors can rely on receiving the very best of accommodation. A pleasant holiday can be spent in this exhilarating climate. Pretty scenery surrounds the whole of the district. Fishing and shooting in season. Hampers provided. Afternoon teas all day.
That sounds very nice.
Yes, it does. But having a look there, it was built in 1848. And it was originally called the Victoria Creek Hotel, because Williamstown, it was initially called Victoria Creek, not Williamstown.
Oh, I've seen that. I didn't know where that was.
Yeah, so that was quite interesting. I saw an interesting little side bit on this. Out the front of the Williamstown Hotel, there was this dirty great big gum tree that was 85 foot high, so that's what, 25, 26 metres, and 9 foot 6 diameter, which is about 3 metres. And it was cut down that same year in 1923. And they made out of the timber, they made a very big bench seat out of it, which can still be seen under the veranda of the Williamstown Hotel. So that's 100 years ago. And it said there that the publican at that time, a Mr. R. Schmid, would say to anybody who could lift the seat, they would give them free beer. So
I wonder if that's still a thing.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to go and try it out. See if it does.
Okay. Yeah. I'll carry on. 50 years ago, Gawler parallel parking bid. The SA Road Traffic Board has asked Gawler Town Council to consider the scrapping of angle parking in Murray Street in favour of parallel parking. In a letter to council, the executive engineer of the Road Traffic Board said 30-degree angle parking as used in Murray Street was the most inefficient form of angle parking for curbside space utilisation. Very few additional spaces could be provided over parallel parking, he said. I'd much prefer angle parking.
Yes, but going back 50 years, that was when about I got my licence, and I can vaguely remember driving down Murray Street with angle parking. And I always can remember having to stop, you know, then you go down another 20 metres and stop because somebody was reversing out, and there was virtually no room between both sides, between traffic going down and traffic coming up.
No, it would have been.
Because Murray Street isn't very wide.
No, it's not.
That would have been fun, I would reckon, doing that. And over in some of the places I remember going to in New South Wales, they still angle park, but they reverse angle park. So you reverse into your car park and drive off from there. I remember going over it and doing that, and I wasn't very good at reverse parking. I can tell you, it was all over the place. So parallel parking in Gawler.
We've had that ever since.
Makes sense. Makes sense, sort of thing. Although I don't like parking in Murray Street anyway.
No, nor do I.
No, I'd rather go somewhere else, another car park somewhere, because
and
it's...
And walk.
And much.
You see more when you walk.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. Bit of exercise, that helps too. Yeah, indeed.
Yes, I'd like to see all the parks in Murray Street removed and put in cafe, you know, widen the footpaths for cafe
tables. Yes, yes, yes. Well, being somebody who likes cafes, I would agree with that 100%. Yeah. But now you're driving down Murray Street and you're stopping all the time too now.
Oh,
because there's somebody trying to reverse in, and then they give up and drive off. And off they go. And 25 years ago, so that was what, 1998, local link to Maree Man. One of the great mysteries of the century in South Australia, Maree Man, was first spotted by a Gawler resident, Trek Smith, 20 years old, a commercial pilot with Central Air Services, discovered the huge image in the sand while on an early morning charter flight from Coober Pedy to Maree. When I happened to spot the image from the window of my plane, I wasn't too sure what it was, Trek told the Bunyip. I assumed it must have been a feature that everyone already knew about. It was so obvious.
So now I only vaguely remember this, and I think 25 years ago I should have been more aware of it, but it's really interesting. It's one of the world's largest geoglyphs, and it was put there, they think, earlier in 98.
Because he was on the 26th of June is when he, and in Wikipedia it states that a pilot did it, discovered it, so that was Trek.
Yes.
So it's fairly big, 2.7 kilometres long, that's the length of it overall.
Yeah.
And I don't think they know who's done it, who did it.
No, they still don't know. There was anonymous press releases sent to media and local businesses in July and August, led to the suggestion that it was created by people from the United States. Mentions local Indigenous territories, terms not used by Australians. The press releases also mentioned the Great Serpent in Ohio, which is not well known outside of the US. It was also conjectured that these features of the press releases may have been red herrings inserted to provide an illusion of American authorship. Because it's very close to Rimmer where there were Americans stationed.
Ah, so that was the link there.
Yeah.
All right. But I remember vaguely about it happening, and it was immediately referred to, you know, all the chalk figures and that are in England, although they're much smaller, of course. I would have thought it would have been done by mining machinery or something for that size.
It's also suggested that it was a Northern Territory artist, Bardius Goldberg, who lived at Alice Springs, has been suggested as possible as the person that did it.
Well, it would have taken a fair while just to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just wonder how they did it and get it in such a reasonable condition.
Well, when you look at, some of those chalk carvings in England that were, they don't know how old they are because they're unable to date them, but they're very old and they've been there for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yep.
And they just have to recut the grass to get the outline.
Just redo them.
Yeah.
Occasionally put a bit more in there, clean up the chalk a bit.
The famous white horse. So some of them go back a long way.
Yeah.
So it's amazing what people can do without having, being able to see from the air.
See from the air because, whoops, hang on a second, they've got a head that's about five times bigger than the body or something. So it amazes me that they could do that. Mm. Astonishing.
Yeah. So, it's your turn.
10 years ago, smaller buses for Gawler. Gawler's Metro Ticket bus service will trial smaller buses from next week in response to public demand. Community feedback to the Loop service shows residents want to retain the public transport option but would prefer smaller buses rather than the full-size vehicle, which are currently used. From Monday, a Mitsubishi Rosa with wheelchair access and a seating capacity of 20 will be trialled on the 491, 492, 493 and 494 routes. Well, 10 years ago, nothing much has happened, has it?
We have got the small bus.
We've got the small bus, which is the on-demand.
It's like a little Tonka toy, that bus.
But it's an ideal size. That one does the on-demand 495 route.
Yes.
So when that's I've caught the buses from the 491, which is the Williston Hewitt one.
Right. Yeah.
And you get on there, there's not many people on there. Mm. There never are. Mm. And it amazes me the abilities of the bus drivers getting in around these small little areas and roundabouts and all of that with the great big buses.
Mm.
And I know I've spoken to a couple of various drivers at some stage and they said, we wish we had the smaller ones. But they they've got so many of these bigger ones that's what we're stuck with.
Mm.
So you think of 10 years ago they were looking at a trial. We've got one, but all of the other buses are the dirty great big ones. And you'd think the smaller ones would be much more efficient.
You would think so, but I guess they're expensive to buy, and if you've already got big buses, then...
Yeah, if you've already got big ones, and so do that.
Mm. Yep. Mm.
Perhaps in another 10 years' time, we might have something
ones.
Like that.
Yes.
Well, at some stage, it's going to be electric ones or something. You know, that's going to happen eventually. Mm. You'd think they'd look at that once the old ones get a little bit worn and that be
they
much...
Are they new-looking buses.
So. Yes, yes. Not much chance of that happening for a while.
So, that wraps it up for this week.
All done. Jeanette, thank you very much for that. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much for filling in, and maybe Kay will be back next week.
And we look forward to Kay coming back.
Yes, we do.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
For all life's so